broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
It is a great day to be alive on this Monday. Kyle Bruston Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. My name is Ben Brust, alongside in a salmon shirt, hitting the boat yesterday night on the town.
Cool. You know, we put the boat in a little bit yesterday.
I saw the speakers that you paid for or didn't pay for.
They
work well?
Let me tell you, when we arrived, everybody heard us.
All right.
We interrupted some people's nice Sundays with our knockers.
All right. That's Kyle Wallace. Across from him, next to me, is Brad Northman, longtime NFL punter, Super Bowl 50 runner-up. Bradley?
Benjamin, I just witnessed something by our own Kyle Wallace. And I'm curious what you would do in this situation, if I may, before we jump in. So I'm out there, I'm filling up my tea, as I normally do. And Kyle comes around the corner with all of his stuff. Uh-huh. And there's a nice area where we can get water and tea. And there's usually a stack of paper cups. Uh-huh. Usually plenty of them.
Plenty.
There's one cup there. Kyle makes his way toward there, pauses, says, "Only one cup, shoot," and then walks on by. Why didn't you take the final cup and get yourself some water?
We have a very beautiful office that we have here, but the final cup is sitting face down on that counter.
Oh, no.
And I'd be damned.
I thought you were being courteous to whoever else might.
No, it's germs or money.
It's disgusting.
Either germs or it's too expensive.
Do you think they clean that counter? That counter is filthy.
Hold
filthy.
On.
Dusty.
You are
everywhere.
Aware there is a cabinet.
Sometimes it has cups and sometimes it does not.
Did you check?
No, I was only had a couple minutes left.
It was last minute.
Yeah,
it was last minute.
No, I did not check.
I literally thought it was courtesy. That you're like, you know what? No. I'm not going to be that guy.
You still think too much of people.
No, I'm thirsty. I'm parched. That was a nuisance for my day, actually.
So you'd rather be parched than put your lips something that's been on the counter?
No, I decided that I'm going to go at a different time, go get a cup from upstairs that's not going to be the last cup.
Have you seen the movie Along Came Polly, Brad?
Yes.
I have. You know how he won't eat the nuts at the bar?
Oh,
yeah.
Polly sounds like a very smart person. That's disgusting.
He's him.
Do y'all realize how many people put their hands in those
Polly.
Nuts? That's disgusting.
Oh, Ruben Pfeffer.
Ruben. She dated a person named Ruben. Polly's a woman. And the man was Ruben Pfeffer. Quite the name.
Kyle Ruben Pfeffer Wallace.
Quite the name. But no, that's disgusting. Community peanuts are disgusting. What people do with their hands. This boy right here picks his nose.
This is the clip. He says, you know what
it is.
He's a risk analyst. Uh-huh. He goes straight statistic. He goes, you know how many people go to the bathroom, don't wash their hands? It's 65% of people, which means blah, 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 blah amount of people are going to the bathroom. And, like, he's got the numbers, which means all the nuts, they're contaminated.
They are. Anything we touch in here that Ben touches is contaminated.
But that's the point. The handle that you use to get in here, I touched,
it's
Brad
gross.
Touched.
That
it's
button
gross.
Somebody
pressing
else right
touched.
Now to go on air.
Mark Chimura in the morning is here sometimes. He touches all that stuff.
I need my wipes.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing, is you go through life touching germs. You're not clean all the time.
I try my best to avoid obvious information. Nuts in a bowl at a bar, gross. Cup out here in our... Again, we have a beautiful workspace.
A paper cup on a counter.
With the brim touching the counter. That counter
they
is
do,
if that if you think that brim's so clean, you lick it. I want you both to lick it. Lick it. Lick
no,
it. Lick. See, he's going to be
ben
sick.
Goes
now,
and leaves.
Now, when Ben is sick come later this week, he's going to have his bachelor party. Ben is going to be sick as a dog come Thursday.
This is like, remember that
disgusting.
Play? Rudy Gobert. Remember when the whole COVID thing happened? He's touching microphones.
And what happened
ben
to Rudy?
Is Rudy Gobert.
Rudy didn't get COVID.
Here's the cup. On YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison.
Don't you, one don't cup. You lick it.
Do you are you proud of that?
What point is he proving? We threw it out.
Blood is wet.
Get over it, dude.
I got bin germs all on me. Ugh.
It is weird that we stack them down. Why don't we stack them up?
I don't ask those questions. I just come to work and I just do what I got to do, not to get in anybody's
way. I can't wait for somebody to get 5 minutes into the show when they watch back on YouTube and I'm just licking a paper cup.
Yeah, that was an aggressive.
I just want to show them it's going to be okay.
It was aggressive.
So if you get sick on Thursday, will you change everything? My eyes are assaulted.
No, I'm not going to get sick.
I don't know, Benjamin. You may get sick.
Are you from Scuba, Ruben? Somebody texted in at the 800-990-3776 Carbless Talk and Text Line. This is more. You're so annoying. Like, you're good.
Wait a minute. I didn't do anything but mind my own dang business. I went there. I saw a cup. I didn't want it. I went and I sat down. I didn't say nothing. I didn't complain about the fact that we had no cups. I just sat here and I said, you know what? I'm going to figure it out. Brad came out here. He brought it to the choir here today, the congregation. And so I didn't do anything. I didn't mess with nobody.
Well, the worst part is I took the last cup and I licked it so no one else can
use it. Yeah, so now no one's getting water. Yeah. So now Kyle's really in trouble.
That's the selfish person. He took the last cup, licked it just for nothing. He didn't even think about using it. No, he just licked it. And now somebody's going to come downstairs, going to be very thirsty and say, oh, there's no cups. And poor, you know, office assistant Amy, you're going to have to come down here and put the cups up because of you.
Because of me. Ben Bruss, Kyle Walsh, wow. Brad Dortmund back together on this Monday here. Strofe is running the show. Brad, you have an issue with me too?
Yeah, this is just, my co-hosts are just cut from a different cloth.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so this morning, usually Monday morning I wake up, have a cup of coffee, and look at my calendar for the week and figure out what am I doing work-wise, life-wise, all the things. I scroll through my week and I say, oh yeah, I'm doing something with Ben. Ben has all the information. I just have it blocked off on my calendar tomorrow morning. So I text Ben. I say, hey, Ben, are we still a green light for that thing we're doing tomorrow? And it's gonna take some time, right? And a couple minutes later, I get a text back of just an emoji thumbs up. And I don't know where it is. I don't know when I'm supposed to be there. I don't know how long it's gonna take. Ben just blocked it off on my calendar. I mean, that's just such an inappropriate response a true work question. Ben, are we still a green light to go for our thing we have to do tomorrow morning?
What time did you text me?
Time out.
And it was a thumbs up emoji.
So wait,
what time did you text me?
Is it blocked off in your calendar?
7:50
a.m. Wow, that's
I mean, yeah. I got back to you right away with a thumbs up. But any more details, give me a call.
It's not the timing of it. It's the thumbs up emoji. In what world is that an appropriate response?
Well, the calendar invite that he sent to you, which is very helpful because he blocked off your calendar as a reminder. Now, usually when you get a calendar invite for some type of event or what you have to be to, did it have the title of the event?
As a title of the event.
Does it have a location?
It has a city.
Does it have a location? So you just going to have to drive to a city and look around?
Exactly. And I remember when Ben invited me, and then I'll say my piece and I'll let you respond, Ben. I remember he said, I'm just going to block this off. We'll get details as it comes closer. And now we're close.
Yeah,
it's tomorrow.
24 hours,
So I'm fishing for details, and Ben gives me a thumbs up. And I don't know what to do with that.
Confirming, are we still a green light to visit Plymouth tomorrow? Thumbs up. Like, you didn't ask, what's the address? What time are we leaving?
That's insinuated, is it not?
No, it's not. I answered his question, did I not, Kyle?
You spearheaded this.
I answered his question.
Brad is a little passive-aggressive
there. If you want details,
you should have been
direct.
Passive-aggressive? The thumbs up is the most passive-aggressive.
Are we driving together? Like, ask the questions, and I would have... No. It's early. I didn't have a cup of coffee yet. I gave you a thumbs up. We're good.
No, thumbs up. I'm wayward. I have no idea what direction, what time. How am I supposed to plan?
It's up
to
Plymouth.
It's in Plymouth. Just go to Plymouth. I'll be there at some point.
I've been there before. I've been in a situation where Brad is like, I need more details. And instead of being direct, Brad, obviously in a situation, was like, what in the world is going on? He didn't get, wait a minute, I ain't going to go that far. But he said, I ain't got all these details. Let me maybe ask Ben and remind him we have this to make sure it's still happening, expecting for you to give him all the information. He's already annoyed by the fact that he is now 24 hours away from an event and he has no idea.
It's not my fault that he planned things 18 years in advance.
I'm a planner. I pack 3 weeks ahead of time for a thing. So the fact that I'm even waiting 24 hours to reach out to Ben.
Do you know yet?
No, he hasn't given me any information.
You didn't ask me any questions. As Ryan chimes in on the Carbless Talking text line, Brad, I'm sorry, I have to side with Ben here. Do you want information that you didn't ask questions for?
Brad, you think you're dealing with a normal person.
You literally said, just confirming, are we still green light to visit Plymouth tomorrow?
First of all, I'd appreciate words, even if it's just like, yes, we are. At least I will feel like I got the respect of the text message.
Oh, so disrespected from a thumbs up.
The respect.
He actually it is kind of disrespectful. In Brad's defense, the thumbs up. The thumbs up is passive aggressive because Ben probably saw it and said, "Did I tell you it was canceled? Why
no,
would that be?"
The only thumbs I up. Was just like thumbs up. The only thing that would have been go. I answered his question.
The only thing that would have been worse is you don't know this because you're not an Apple user, but you can thumbs up the text itself.
I do know that, Bradley.
If you just would have thumbs up the text, then I would have been like, "Oh my gosh!"
Well, I just did that right now.
I expect. Oh my! I'm offended. I'm offended by
Brad,
that.
I blame you because you expected more from Ben than what he has ever given us.
So if it was the same situation, you planned it. You were the person that were spearheaded it, and I said, "Kyle," and I know a city and I know a block. If I said, "Kyle, I'm just texting to make sure we're still
at
green light for our thing tomorrow."
7:50 in the morning, Kyle. I'm not thinking about Brad's
details. How would you handle
it? You've
been a manager.
You would have had the details way before. I would have had the details and the calendar invite for you already. You would have already known. So had you asked me that question, it would have been a confirmation that it was still happening. But I probably would have sent you a confirmation like, "Hey, Brad, remember tomorrow, maybe not at 7 o'clock in the morning, maybe around like 12. Hey, tomorrow."
So you want to do this on the air now, Brad?
Sure.
Are we driving together?
That's rough.
Ooh, that's tough. I might have to Google Maps it because I don't want to go too out of
my way. Now this has become a bigger thing already.
No, it's out the way.
Are you driving with me or not?
No.
I want to know logistics. I want to know if it makes sense.
Yes or no?
Brad, no.
I need to know details before I just commit something like
you
that.
You don't want to be in a car with this guy for a while. It's 40 minutes where you got
to
go.
How far is it from Plymouth to your... So when I drive to your house, and then we both get into a car together, and then we go up there?
And then we drive right back down.
It seems like more work.
It is more
than
work for
just
you.
Go in separate.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like we're going separate. I'll send you the address, and I'll see you at 9 o'clock.
Can we be willing to pivot, though? What if I want to drive with you? What if I go to bed tonight and say, you know what? I do need some time with Ben. Or do I need to give you the answer right now?
I don't have time for all of this, stuff.
I don't like being in cars with people I work with because you're forced to talk to them. Like, you can't be...
You're forced to talk to us for 3 hours a day.
It's different,
though. We're basically in a car right now.
Yeah, we have a show. It's us in a van. We know what we're talking about. But, when you're just randomly in a car, what are you going to talk about? You have conversations with
people.
What
are you going to talk about? Life?
Thank you, Chef Ed. A thumbs up emoji is the perfect response, meaning it's all well and good. It's all well and good, Brad.
So is it on me to then ask specific details of what I don't have?
You have to know... KYP, know your personnel.
Know your personnel.
You got to know him. You got to know Ben Bruss.
All this time we spent together.
That's true.
After I sent the thumbs up, I'm thinking, all right, Brad's good to go.
Yeah, he didn't think he probably forgot he didn't tell you that.
Did you have any thought? Because I didn't respond to Ben. Because I'm going to bring this to air.
Ooh.
I want KBN Nation to know what I'm doing.
No way he thought of that at 7:50.
Did you? I didn't. Why did you say? It's been a couple hours. I wonder why Brad hasn't said anything. That's just weird.
It was a time to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't have all the details yet.
Oh!
That was my reminder this morning, so thank
you,
Brad.
Wait a minute. When would you have remember? When do you check your calendar for your
next day? I knew we had a Tuesday. It just wasn't on my to-do list to find out yet. Because I'm not like Brad. I could figure it out today. And
the funny thing is...
Once he texts me that, just confirming, that means I know Brad has it blocked off. He's going to get there. I don't need to put it at the top of my to-do list to make sure Brad has... an itinerary to get to Plymouth tomorrow.
What's crazy is, literally, so I said it's Monday morning when I usually look. Honesty hour. Usually it's Thursday or Friday of the week before. I look at the next week to just get my mind right. So I was going to even text you then.
How do you even remember? How do you look at your calendar on Thursday for the following week?
Because I just want to get my mind right. And not that I would text Ben.
Get your mind right.
I just
start
thinking.
What do we do here?
Well, every day.
Start thinking things through.
This is your one outside the work being here activity of the week. So you needed Thursday to prepare for time you're going to be outside this studio?
It's a general habit that I'm in to look further, and this is a big thing. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. So I was going to text Ben on Thursday, but I was like, it's too early. It's too early.
Well,
I'm like a crazy person.
Yeah.
But I wanted to. So I had to wait. I had to restrain myself until this moment, Monday morning.
All right. So I'll get you an address, a time to be there, and I'll see you there, okay?
Okay.
Well, I'm glad we got this.
Anything else you need? Get it off your chest now.
Do you need him to respond to your text message? Do you want to address how you don't like emojis? Just so he knows.
No. I ain't changing anything.
Are you a big just emoji responder?
No, I just it's just what I chose to do. There's no it's not that deep.
It does seem like a random thing to say.
Yeah, I don't like emojis. They're passive aggressive.
I do think words were required.
Like you thumbs up to a question is
I already have a fiance. You guys are acting like I have two more relationships that I got to think about everything I text you guys.
Well, you're winning in that relationship, and I hope you win in ours.
Why do you hope I win?
In ours. With me, you, and
I don't need to win in your relationship.
I think your livelihood depends on you winning in our relationship, buddy.
What does winning look like in this relationship?
Positive, liking each other. I'm not going to lie. Ben texted me yesterday.
I did.
During Sunday Karma. Here he texts us, and I'm like, look at this negative energy. I said, look at this negativity.
What'd you text him?
Strophe, was my text into Sunday Karma necessary because you felt the exact same way as me? Kyle is being weird.
Kyle was being weird. However, I think it was your weekly reminder to the higher-ups at this company that you were listening.
yeah. I do put it on every week. I happened to be driving back after I Ubered to get my car, and you guys were entertaining me. But I was entertained until Kyle
was being a weirdo.
Was being weird.
He was being a weirdo.
How are you being weird?
He was withholding information to entertain fans.
He kept saying that he was a changed man and he was learning how to pick his battles with what he said on the air.
Which totally meant someone was listening and he didn't want to say something to get in trouble. He was nobody likes that radio host.
He was going to say something about his in-laws, I think.
Oh, wow. I don't have any in-laws.
That's good. Oh,
so defensive. Sorry, you don't love baby girl to the point where you won't take her in-laws in and say they're potentially future in-laws.
When they're my in-laws, they're my in-laws. I can't wait.
Oh, that sounded really. I hope they didn't hear that. 800-990-3776.
Oh, don't you start nothing. I love it.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. It's Kyle Bruston Ortman. I'm babysitting Kyle's feelings, Brad's feelings, and I didn't think today Strophe would be at the bottom of the list of having to deal with feelings, but he is, which is great. I'm sure I'll get to you later at some point in the show. Got a fiance and three other people in my life from 2 to 5 to manage their feelings. Full-time job. Jordan Love has been a topic of conversation. We're going to get to the Milwaukee Brewers because I'm so happy after reading through the comments. I saw ESPN Wisconsin put out some posts on social media. How many games do you think they win against the Phillies? Nobody said sweep. Everyone said one or two.
I didn't say sweep.
A lot of people said 0-1. Mm. Suck it. They got the sweep, and they're cooking with gas. We got a whole lot to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's Kyle Bruston Ortman.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston Ortman.
That is completely unacceptable. It is unacceptable for a team to unacceptable. Unacceptable. Is acceptable? Unacceptable?
Unacceptable.
Unaccessible.
Wait, what?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Just let me cry a little bit.
Started when the media was around OTAs and Fox 11 captured Jordan Love being asked about taking a step back. What's a step back? Get a little sassy with it. And now I feel like a lot more people are talking about Jordan Love since then. Dan Orlovsky today tweeted about it. And you know what? Just for old time's sake, we'll hear Jordan Love get a little sassy.
All right, what is a step back is what I'd ask, you know what I mean? Everybody has different opinions, things like that. You know, you got to block that stuff out. So it's all about the goals of the team at the end of the day. You know, I'd say we won more games than we did the year before. So that's why I ask people, what is a step back? So everybody has opinions, things like that. Try and block that out.
Dan Orlovsky today, ESPN NFL analyst, tweeted on Twitter X, anyone who says Jordan Love regressed last year doesn't look at QB play properly. Thanks, period. Have an awesome day, period.
Exclamation point.
What I would like to know, though, from Dan, is if you're going to get all, like, I'm above you, you don't know how to watch and evaluate QBs properly.
What are you going to get on this guy about? Let me
Say what people are wrong about. Like, don't just say you don't know what you're doing. Say why they don't know what they're doing.
He doesn't need to waste his time on the idiots that think Jordan Love regressed.
It's fair in some sort of way, but also if you're going to be this analyst guy, get the film out, man. Let's see the film. He's a film guy. He always breaks it down on Twitter of why someone did or did not do something that was good or bad. And so then I come back to us, and I see that, you know, obviously we know Kyle after last week, after he heard that clip from Fox 11, he's like, ooh, I like that he's clapping back a little bit. This turns into now Kyle thinking Jordan Love is going to have, like, this year that is unprecedented. Now, I think that he did not take a step back. I just don't think he took a step, didn't take a step forward. But everything that I will continue to say about Jordan Love is that the first 2 years have set him up for every experience possible that he could have gone through in his first 2 years starting to have a successful year three. So I just want to quantify if Kyle and Brad, I think you think Jordan Love's going to have a big year.
I do.
What is a big year? 800-990-3776. Do we simplify this? Yards, interceptions, touchdowns, how far the team makes it? What's a big year for Jordan Love? You can quantify it. We can simplify it to yards, touchdowns, interceptions, and how far they go as a team. If you have other things you're looking for, because if you're not a believer, I want to know what you're looking for. If you think he regressed, I want to know what you're looking for. And if you think he's going to have a big year, I want to know what you're looking for. So fire away, boys. Mr. and Mr. Big year, guys.
Yeah, you know, I do think it's going to be a big year for Jordan Love. I mean, think about last offseason. Yeah, the distraction of the contract, all the expectations. He's everyone's golden boy. But this year, people are accusing him of taking a step back, something to prove, underdog mentality, and I think Jordan Love thrives in that environment. So this year, I think he's going to come with a full head of steam into the 2025 NFL season. And here's what it would be for me. For Jordan Love to have a big season, and a season that I think is, you know, attainable, not like some outlandish, got to be MVP, but very attainable. I think he's got to have more than 30 touchdown passes. More than 30 touchdown passes. That would put him in sixth in the NFL based on last year's statistics. He's got to have seven or less interceptions. So, I mean, that he has to take care of the ball. Probably the thing that matters most in Jordan Love's progression is good decision-making and being able to take care of the ball. Less than seven interceptions. When it comes to yards, 4,000 yards. That'd be seventh last year. So we're talking about a top seven, a top six quarterback in the NFL, something he can do. And as far as how far he goes, NFC Championship game. It's time. It's time to make a swing. Just winning one game in the wild card round and going to the divisional round, it's not good enough anymore. This team's got to take a next step forward. He's capable. He's ready. Got to be in the NFC Championship game. He does that. That's 30 touchdowns, seven or less, 30 or more. Seven or less interceptions, 4,000 yards, and NFC Championship game. Right there, we're looking at Jordan Love saying, it's not if. The time is now. Jordan Love is that bona fide franchise quarterback. He's clearly in the top six quarterbacks of the NFL, and the Green Bay Packer future is bright.
So, Brad, I love you.
Those are some really high expectations.
Oh, yeah, no, we said big year.
No, they're not high expectations.
Oh, my God.
You're not high enough
because
now?
What he said 30-plus touchdown. But let me tell you this right now. When I talk about a dude.
Oh,
that'd be
no.
Six
no.
The NFL.
Don't owe no stroke nothing to me. Because
mark all of this, by the way.
Mark it. Capital M, capital A, capital R, capital K. Mark. And
period.
I ain't talking about you more. Period. All right? So, we talk about passing yards. We talk about, you know, what Jordan Love has done. Mind you, I must remind you that Jordan Love has already thrown for 30-plus touchdown passes in the season, right? He's done that already. He's already thrown for 4,000-plus yards. So, what you're asking him to do is do what the boy has already done. So, that's why I'm here to tell you, Jordan Love needs to raise the bar in year three as a starter for the Green Bay Packers. So, when I look at Jordan Love, next year I need for him to throw for over 4,100 passing yards again. He threw for 4,159 yards. I think he'll have a better running game. So, it may not be a whole bunch of yards, but I expect over 4,100 yards him passing. He already threw for 32 touchdown passes a couple years ago. We need 35 plus, baby. 35 is the bare minimum for Jordan Love.
Bare minimum?
I put him like fifth in the NFL.
Okay. He was third before 2 years ago. And so then on top of that, we talk about interceptions and turnovers from Jordan Love. Here's the thing I'm realizing with Jordan Love. Watching Brett Favre, he's the old gunslinger, all right? He's more old gunslinger than he is Aaron Rodgers. And so what I understand is this. Jordan Love is going to have boneheaded interceptions. But the great thing about him is he's going to have miraculous, spectacular plays on the football field where sometimes the decision-making, you're going to say, no, oh, yes. And other times you're going to say, what in the world is Jordan Love doing? So for me, if Jordan Love has 12 interceptions or less, I'm actually satisfied with that.
No.
Yes, because when you look at the top quarterbacks last year, boy, how many interceptions they had. When you look at a guy like a Baker Mayfield who had 41 touchdown passes, 16 interceptions. Jared Goff, who we all thought Jared Goff played very well last year. Guess what?
Interception game, I think.
He sure did have a 5-interception game, but altogether it came to 12 interceptions. And then on top of that, Sam Darnold, the darling Sam Darnold last year, who played really, really well. 35 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions. And so for me, when I look at Jordan Love, I need for that man to have over 4,100 yards passing. I need over 35 touchdown passes. I need 12 interceptions or less, and I'm going to be satisfied. Anything more than 12 interceptions is a problem. But this is the big number that we need. We need for Jordan Love to understand that footwork and mechanics in the pocket are important, but also being able to utilize his legs to pick up first downs.
Are you adding statistics to this?
I sure am. We need Jordan Love to rush for over 300 yards this year. He rushed for 243, I think, 2 years ago. We need for him to utilize that aspect of his legs being a threat, because if Jordan Love now, because remember we played against the Chicago Bears and we beat the Bears in that game, but what did Caleb Williams do? He couldn't throw the ball downfield. He ran. He was a running threat. I don't need him to run for 450 or 500 yards, but I need for him to be a threat in the pocket that they have to spy him, that they have to account for him. I can't have them dropping everybody back, not accounting for our quarterback. So overall this year, for Jordan Love to have the year we expect, I need that boy to throw for over 4,100 yards, 35-plus touchdown passes, and I need for him to rush for over 300 yards. I'm giving up the fact that Jordan Love is going to be this quarterback that throws less than double digits in interceptions. That's not going to happen. This just... It's going to be a rarity. It's going to be a rarity. He's not that guy. He's not that guy. He's going to make poor decisions. It's just going to come.
Are you done yet? How far are they going to go?
For the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, it's part of the equation.
How far do they have to go?
In the Green Bay Packers, this is the toughest part. They got to go to the NFC Championship. They got to go to the NFC Championship. You got at some point, you already won a wild card game. Now you got to win a divisional game, right? You got to get to an NFC championship. It's not an easy road, but Jordan Love, for him to be able to get in that elite level, those are the criteria that he has to meet, and I believe he can do it. I don't think that's hard.
It is hard.
Baker Mayfield did it. Jared Goff did it. Hell, Sam Darnold did it. You don't think he's better than those guys?
You are
wow.
Weapons.
Kyle's been triggered.
That's true. You got me on that one. They do have some. I mean, they got some elite weapons.
Yeah, I know. That's why when I look at 4,100 yards passing, 300 rushing with Josh Jacobs, they better lead the league in freaking yards with the way you're predicting right now.
He had 4,100 yards 2 years ago.
I hear you.
Aaron Jones came back late, and he was ripping off 100 yards games like that at the end of the season.
I felt like I had a fair assessment of what I want without, like, reaching too far. I had 3,900 yards plus.
Okay, so we're all right there, 39
I had
to 41.
28 touchdowns.
Oh, he threw 25 touchdowns this season he played, and, he missed three games, basically, when you take two halves that he missed. Stop it.
Nine interceptions, less than 10 I'd be looking for, and I have them exiting in the divisional round.
Oh, come on.
That would be enough?
Because I don't think I can put the success of this team all on Jordan Love, because I just don't believe in their pass rush in the playoffs. I don't believe they have enough as they go further down the road to make it as far as I want this team to make it.
But don't you think that the quarterback owns the lion's share of it? Because if we ever criticize some quarterbacks in the playoffs, it's like, you got to do more. I know the Aaron Rodgers.
Did you
watch
the trenches in these like deeper runs? Like,
yes.
Everyone's a little punch drunk on Matthew Golden right now and what Jordan Love can do without even ever seeing him out there. I'm just taking a
just wait.
This is my point. I heard on Sunday Karma yesterday as I'm driving.
Just
telling Greg Scalzo. Oh, Greg.
Just wait.
Matthew Golden, you just wait. When did you see him in the Green Goal? You up there in 1265?
Listen, I saw him in shorts and t-shirts. On top of the highlight.
Oh, God. We're doing the shorts and t-shirts thing.
He looked pretty good in shorts and t-shirts, though.
But on top of what I see, man, he's a difference maker in games. We talked about it after the draft. When you watch the difference that he made for Texas last year, he was the go-to guy. He was the go-to guy on third down. He was the go-to guy in the red zone. I'm telling y'all this right now. Matthew Golden is going to be the golden child, the golden boy in Green Bay.
AJ on the Carbless Talking text line. AJ in Baltimore wants 35 TDs, 12 picks, 11 wins, 4,200 yards, NFC champs.
That's a smart man. Remember, that's the bomb guy. He knows a lot. He's a smart guy.
The guy?
NFC champs.
Were you not here for that? Maybe you weren't here for that.
He called in. What were we talking about?
He said he dropped.
Well, he called in and said he was a general manager, and we were like, what are you a general manager of? And then he told us it was like weapons. So I Googled him, and we found bombs. out.
Well, I mean, yeah. Wait. He said weapons. I shouldn't say brought by. Let me not put that on him.
That's why I wanted. That's why I did that.
But he knows not, a thing or two.
Let me not put that on you because I don't know what he do. And if he do that, I don't want nothing
said,
to do with
it. He said,
I
feel like Kyle just stole my hot take.
Yeah, I like him. I like Baltimore. I like him.
Why'd you just go Boston
accent? That's the way
accent.
They talk in Baltimore. They talk like that.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do talk.
No, that sounds like Boston mixed with New York.
I'm telling you this right now. They talk
Mr.
like this in
bare
Baltimore.
Bare minimum 30 or more touchdowns, 4,100 yards, or 35. Bare minimum 30. He said bare minimum 35
so
touchdowns.
So are we agreeing on anything?
No, we're not. We all have our own expectations.
Strove,
that's okay.
Whose expectations sound like the ones that you believe are most attainable for Jordan Love, that you want him to attain?
See, that's two different questions.
Most attainable is 28 touchdown passes. That's nothing. That's a cakewalk.
Hold on. I don't know that it is a cakewalk necessarily. I think he'll get there, don't get me wrong, but obviously
it's a cakewalk.
This offense is going to be... Are you eating in the middle of the show?
You're eating and you're talking over Strove after because you want him to pick your... Pick.
Can
so
you not
bad.
Wait 30 seconds until we hit a commercial break to eat your protein bar?
So I thought we were going to go to break, and then I asked you that, and then I forgot.
Your IQ is low, and that's coming from me.
Okay, yeah. Answer the question now. Look how distracted you get. Come on now.
I do
food.
Get distracted. I think Brad had it high, but I think if he lives up to the contract, that should probably be the expectation. So I think I'm Team Brad more so than anybody.
Attaboy,
30
Strove.
Touchdown passes, that's it?
30 touchdowns, 7 or less interceptions, 4,000 yards in the NFC Championship.
NFC Championship game was the part I was really latched on to.
Well, I said that,
I think that should be an expectation.
Yeah. Wheel of Strove!
Wheel of Strove!
Guys, best one yet.
You say that every day.
I haven't said it yet about Wheel of Strove. Best one yet.
All right. Well, you can leave the video on Strofe and I putting the board together for the Wheel of Strofe, which is next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
I was like, it's the 4-1-4 hour at 4.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like the kid who like got picked on the sports team. I was like, oh, you want me? No way.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Got that sunshine
on my Sunday bed. Kyle Brustin Nortman hanging with you, KBN Nation at 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line lists is more. Check us out on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And of course, download and listen on the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. Super easy to use. Open it up and get everything you need all right in the palm of the hand. Time now for the Wheel
of Strove.
You never know what to expect when the wheel appears. It's time for the
Wheel of Strove.
We've brought it back. Week number 2 here on the Wheel of Strove, and some adjustments have been made to the wheel. For the first time, we have a full wheel. 10 slots, they're all full. New this week, 3 new spaces you will see written with each of your first names. That allows you to have a minute to talk about whatever you want. You get to take a minute of my time to talk about whatever you want if it lands on that space. It can only land on one of yours per day. We added this sometime last week, but it will become a permanent staple of the wheel. At any point, it could land on my name, and I have to drop down and give 10 push-ups. And our 5th edition... to the wheel. Ben will have to do the preceding topic in a Bo-Rad accent.
Very nice. Mm.
Today's topics, we're going to play a quote game. Could play a quote game. I want to bring up Salvatore Frelick per usual. I got to talk about my eyes. And maybe we'll talk about Tyrese Halliburton as the Pacers punch their ticket to the NBA Finals. Benjamin, it is time to spin the
Wheel of Strove.
Good spin.
Salvatore!
Salvatore!
Brewers!
Brewers!
No, I don't like you a part of
the
it.
The Brewers, who Kyle didn't think were going to win 7 in a row, have won 7 in a row, back-to-back sweeps with a weekend sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tony Cartagena and I were talking before the show. It's still a rule in Major League Baseball. Every team needs a representative at the All-Star game. Two-part here. Number one, I think Sal Frelick, if the All-Star game was tomorrow, would be the Brewers' representative. He's been the best offensively in terms of average.
He's got gold on that glove for a reason. Been terrific defensively this season.
Just under 800 OPS.
He's struck out the least by far of any daily starter.
He's the best lefty against lefty, lefty batter against lefty pitchers in the entire league on average.
I didn't know that. Thank you for that fun fact.
He went 0 for 3 against Ranger Suarez.
I think Sal Frelick may be trending toward his first All-Star selection, and then secondarily, if that does happen, I will be the first person to buy a Sal Frelick All-Star jersey.
I mean, I see that, but Freddy Peralta has pitched pretty well this year.
You can make an argument for Freddy for sure, especially with all the injuries that they've had to the pitching staff. He's been the one consistent member of that staff that's been there healthy and productive. I don't know. There's... The hard part about Sal is, yes, all those things you said are true, but he's not super flashy with his numbers. Yeah, so I think he's going to have 4 home runs, about 18 RBIs. Like, he's got a decent OPS. He's slugging it well. He's hitting it well. He just hasn't ran into the opportunities to hit guys in.
How many run scores does he have? Do you have a lot of run scores? Because if that, but like, you don't have the gaudy numbers, you got to have that.
But like, I don't think he's like tops
fifth
in the league.
On the team?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, runs. He's not making an All-Star game.
He scored 23 runs.
It's too many outfielders that are going to have those gaudy numbers. Yeah. And outfielders are usually...
He's only struck out 26 times this year. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah. Again,
you don't guys making contact.
I love Sal. I actually think... I'm not going to lie. I'm actually really upset that you jumped on to Sal first, because I would love to be with the Sal
bandwagon.
Yeah, but because you started it, I can't join it.
I give you credit for being so early on the Sal bandwagon.
As I said last week,
you stayed true to it.
I always felt he never got the respect he deserves, and now he's getting it, which is great to see. I love it.
I mean, I spent too much time in that rocking chair with my baby thinking about his home run against the Mets.
Yeah,
that could have been so iconic.
I know.
That game could have been.
All right, go ahead and spin the
Wheel of Strofe.
Brad!
A Brad takeover.
And I've got a good one, guys. I came across this on the old Twitter sphere. Have you guys ever heard of the Taco Bell 50K Ultra Marathon? Let me tell you a little bit about it, because it's my time anyway. There are people in Denver, Colorado, in October, that are going to run 50K, that's 31 miles, but each stop along the way, they have to stop at 10 Taco Bells and eat along the way. Listen to some of these rules. First of all, you have to be present at all 10 Taco Bells. At the fourth one, you need a Chalupa Supreme. At the eighth one, you need a Burrito Supreme, but you need to get something at each one. You can't take any Pepto-Bismol, Alka-Seltzer, anything like that. You have to finish in under 11 hours, and you have to run 31 miles. Could you imagine?
No.
In altitude, stopping at 10 Taco Bells and running 31 miles. These people are built differently, and I'm sick just thinking about it.
Good takeover. That makes me sick. 31 miles is actually the worst part of that.
Wheel of Strofe!
That was Brad. So, quote.
Oh, yeah. This is good. Fellas, we're going to play a brand new game.
Oh.
The Knicks have been eliminated from the NBA playoffs. Tom Thibodeau is their head coach. This game is called, did Tom Thibodeau say it, or did Robert Downey Jr. say it as the character Iron Man? Was this said by Tom Thibodeau or Iron Man? Are you ready? The following sentence. Sometimes you got to run before you can walk. Was that Iron Man or Tom Thibodeau?
Iron Man.
I think that is Iron Man.
Probably Thibodeau.
Sometimes you gotta run before you can walk.
You gotta remember, I watched all Marvels through like 10 times. So I wanna be good at this.
All right, how about this one from either Iron Man or Tom Thibodeau? You do all you can each and every day to prepare for situations.
Thibodeau.
That's Tibbs. That's Tibbs right there. It's too plain for Iron Man.
Tibbs.
Do all you can each and every day to prepare yourself for these situations.
Tom Thibodeau. Very good.
He's never won anything.
It's true.
No, he hasn't.
Just runs his players in the ground.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Fought and moved forward. I have a lot of respect for that. That Tom Thibodeau Iron Man.
Fought, move forward. What?
That was a horrible job at reading the quote.
Fought and move forward. I have a lot of respect for that.
Tibbs.
Give me Iron Man here.
Thibodeau.
So there were a lot of moving parts, but they kept fighting and moving forward. And I've got great respect for that.
You said
he,
the.
He
you didn't
say
read
it
the
right.
quote right, dude.
He did.
You said fought and move forward.
He said they kept fighting, but I needed to make it sound like something Iron Man would say.
So you twisted
the
quote.
The whole game is to have a quote that could be confusing.
All right, last one.
Wheel of Strofe.
Everybody wants a happy ending, but it doesn't always end that way.
Iron Man.
That's Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. Iron Man.
Everybody wants a happy ending, right? But it doesn't always roll that way.
This is when he died.
I love the dramatic music.
That is crying.
I heard that one because that was in the movie where he got the Endgame. Yeah, yeah.
That was an emotional moment.
And do we end this segment just like
nice?
Iron Man ended.
Well, Iron
Thanos.
Man, he didn't. Iron Man didn't end Thanos.
What? Spoiler alert, by the way.
What you mean?
He's clearly never seen it.
He snapped his finger, the one who snapped and died.
Yeah.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Spoiler, I mean, it came out like before 2020.
Did you guys cry when you saw it?
I did.
No.
Why would I cry?
I cry every time. It's a great movie.
So wait,
it's
Iron Man ended up getting his gauntlet. He stole it from him and he had it.
I think we're on to something with the quote game. I just haven't figured it out yet.
I liked it, but your execution.
You knew too much about Iron Man.
I did know too much about Iron Man.
Yes.
All right.
Wheel of Strofe.
Wheel of Strofe.
What do we think? 800-990-3776. I'm curious as to the early feedback of Wheel of Strofe on the Carbless Talk.
Wheel of Strofe.
Strofe didn't have a lot of juice with his topics he selected. What was the point of the Thibodeau in Iron Man? What was the point?
Well, because there was a lot of finality behind what Tom Thibodeau was saying.
And drama.
And Iron Man?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of finality given that he died. Spoiler alert.
I get him. Wow. But Thibodeau?
I was trying to figure out what superhero talks a lot about finality, and Iron Man just came
so
to
So why do
mind.
I care about Tom Thibodeau?
Well, he's got a really bad haircut.
Wow.
No, yeah, I don't really
care. You seen
care
that thing? He's got like three hairs on the top of his head. He just needs to let it go.
Oof, wow.
Speaking of quotes, we got a couple of bad quotes from ESPN Wisconsin teammates. But which quote was more motivating for the Milwaukee Brewers? Don't go anywhere. Two polar opposite people have some really interesting things that they've said in the past that have motivated the Brewers to go on this win streak next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
The comments were so mean, but they also were kind of funny.
Wait, I didn't see the comments.
They said popcorn back in middle school must have been tough.
Please don't pick me.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brewers are ripping. Love. When I see people not believing, after they give you reasons to believe, and then they go give you more reasons to believe by sweeping the Phillies on the road. Whoa. Quick finger. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman with Strofe running the show. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Let's start with one Jesse Nelson, who, ha ha ha, I was at a birthday party, and
we
were at a
birthday party for a fellow teammate.
Pablo Iglesias?
Yeah, the big Pablo birthday bash.
Yeah.
Big blow.
What did you say there, Jesse?
I brought this up on Saturday, and some of our teammates, we were out at a little event. We were all golfing the other night and at the range place. I'm not suggesting this, but when I brought this notion up, I got death stares. Like, how dare you?
Because you're an idiot.
And I don't think that's reasonable. How long do we give reigning NL Manager of the Year Pat Murphy to figure this thing out before we start to question him the same way we question Fickell, LaFleur, Doc?
Dun, 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 dun. To take one of their hotkeys from Wilde and Tausch. I believe that's one of theirs, if I'm not mistaken. Where's it from?
That's Jen Gabe and Chewy.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun.
That's such a good sounder.
Yeah, Price is Right.
I know.
Let's hear from Homer of the Homer Hour, 5 to 6 on ESPN Milwaukee. This was no less than a week ago. And he's doubling and tripling and quadrupling down, which is why Homer is the best.
I don't think you'd ever be considered a superstar
if this keeps up.
No, I'd trade him.
Less than 50 games into his first year.
I would trade him.
And my guess is why maybe a lot of people aren't talking about that. It's nice of you to shine a light on that. I bet the Brewers are working on that issue with him.
Oh, of course they are.
So
if he doesn't get better, you got to trade him. Lacks context of what Homer wants him to work on is his inability to walk at the plate. My man went 4-for-5 in the second game of the series and was electric. Found his way on base twice, I believe, yesterday. A couple infield singles. But again, he's 21 years old. And John Anderson, you should see his face in that clip. He's like, huh? What do you say? Because essentially, he thinks the Brewers would work on that issue. All of these are in May. These are statements in May about the Milwaukee Brewers. What do you have to say now, huh?
Well, listen, I mean, both are egregious, and I love to see the response of the Brewers, but it has to be Jesse's statement that has caused the most amount of motivation. Because the players, they love Murphy. I mean, they love him. And they when they hear that, they're probably thinking, oh, no. Not our manager, because it's been a comprehensive rising of the ships, right? You got Yelich that's hitting home runs now. Of course, we've talked about Jackson Churio, and we've talked about Sal Frelick. So I think all of them would hear that and say, wait a minute, Jesse Nelson, if they even know who that is, Jesse Nelson is saying that about Pat Murphy? No way, we are not going to have it. Absurd nonetheless, though.
Yeah, so for me...
32 wins now, right after that. Yeah, 32 and 28.
They're both idiotic stances, and you know, Jesse's kind of like a lot of us. We're all young in our careers, and we're developing.
Do not put me...
Yeah, what are we doing right
we're
now?
We're young and developing, and so
young and developing.
You might also be an idiot. Jesse's an idiot. Homer's an idiot. I actually, as a resident idiot, am going to advocate for more idiotic statements, because they work. 7-0 the last seven. I don't know if Thanalysis said anything dumb when he had Pat Murphy on, but since that episode has come out, 7-0 since then, just want to throw that out there. Check it wherever you get your podcast, ESPN Wisconsin app. I think we should say more idiotic things. I think that the Brewers should bench Jackson Churio for 2 weeks. That's what I think. I think that will really show him that he's got to walk
at
more.
At this point, we don't need Freddie Peralta. Let's just bring somebody else from the AAA
Let's trade him and call somebody up from the Timber Rattlers, single A.
Fellas, it doesn't work like that. You can't be inauthentic. These guys, when Jesse made those comments, though it was idiotic.
I have the suggestion birthday party.
It was an authentic comment. I mean, obviously he had too many drinks at the birthday party. But then when you think about Homer, like you said, he double-tripled down. You need that. Homer, he believed what he said, and great. I'm glad he did, but he gave the Brewers fuel to the fire because the Brewers retweeted our boy Homer and the idiotic stuff that he said. And listen, which one was dumber? What Jesse said was dumb, but Pat Murphy is not going to be the manager forever. But when you look at Jackson Churio is going to be able to hit and help the Brewers win regardless of who the manager is. So to trade somebody who is that young and has that much star potential this early in the career, not because he's not hitting, not because he's not delivering RBIs, not because he's not driving in runs, not because he's not a good teammate, because he's not drawing walks in the first 2 months of the season, that is asinine and crazy. And so Homer, that was a crazy comment. And based off what Jackson has done in the last 10 games, 15 hits, 12 runs, 2 homers, 9 RBIs.
He is walking off.
And 4 walks. He's doubled the amount of walks that he has since Homer made the comment.
Thank you, Homer. That is wild.
Thank you, Homer.
Sometimes people talk about baby boomers for being old, senile, and saying wild stuff. This time, the old, senile, wild stuff worked in the Brewers' favor. I love Homer. Thank you, Home Slice. That's
it's all
my boy.
Homer. All Homer, baby. All Homer. We have a office wager. I believe there's like $800 in it on the Brewers to win over 83.5 games. That number shot up to 84.5 right before the season, just when all hope is lost, which is hard to give up hope in May. It is right back. And we're back in 2 minutes, and that's not it for Brewers, because I'm too excited about what they've been able to do over the last 7 games, especially going out to Philly. The only thing I would say is, now I'm getting too deep, is we miss Zach Wheeler, which I'm happy about. But you don't apologize for who you play and when you play him. You can only play who's in front of you.
Zach Wheeler was almost a Brewer. You know that?
He was actually traded to the Brewers, but then he got. Remember the, with the cry when the shortstop from the Mets was crying.
Yeah, Reese Hoskins did the little crying face towards him.
He didn't cry because of that.
Yes. No. Last year?
Yeah, but no. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about when the Brewers almost got Zach Wheeler in a trade.
Yeah, well, how you bring up the Mets crying situation?
Because there was a Met, he played for the Mets at that time, and the player was on the field, and he started crying because he found out he got traded. Y'all don't remember this story?
No.
I'll have to. We'll look at it during the break. I know all my true Brewers fans remember I can't remember the kid's name, but he got traded to the Brewers. He started crying on the field.
I hope Christian Yelich is okay. That's the only thing I'm going to leave this segment with. Back in 2 minutes.